And I'll do a brief introduction to our two presenters in just a minute, but a little bit about how tonight's presentation is going to go. Nicole, if you have any updates, I'll turn over the mic to you in just a moment. But wanted to let you all know that I'm going to be putting you on mute, and then Carly and Karen are going to go through their material, and we will pause at different times and open you up. So if you've got questions, you're certainly going to have opportunities to ask them. In the meantime, if you've got something that's burning and you want to make sure that it gets noted, you can certainly send me a chat, text message through the chat feature, and I can make sure that your question gets addressed that way too. We don't have any slides tonight, so this is going to be a teleconference, but I sent a handout to all of you. If you did not get it, please let me know. You can send a note to programming@icfwisconsin.com and I can get it to you, or you can just shoot me a quick chat here and I'll get it off to you as well. So there was a handout. Other than that, Karen and Carly are going to present for about an hour and 15 minutes. Again, there'll be breaks in there. Then we'll do a quick Q&A at the end, and we'll send you on your way. Tonight's presentation is worth 1.5 core competencies, CEU. So as always, I will keep track of attendance. If there's anybody just on the phone and not on the webinar, if you haven't dialed into the computer, let me know that so that I can make sure that you get credit for tonight as well. Nicole, do you have any updates or anything you'd like to share on behalf of the chapter?
I do. Thank you, Karen. The only thing I'd like really to add and to share regarding what's going on with the chapter right now is that we are beginning the annual board nomination and election process. And I know it seems early. The new board starts in 2017, and there's a formal process, of course, that we go through in order to elect our new board for 2017. So be looking for an email in August welcoming nominations, either yourself or others, for the board starting in 2017. And one of my first roles as president, I was just elected as president here in June, and my job right now is to elect a nominating committee. So if anyone on the line is interested in being a member of our nominating committee, it's very low maintenance. It's a nice way to start to get involved with the board that doesn't require a lot of time commitment. And that process would really be just to help us. I'm hearing an echo. There we go. Would be really to help us as a board create that slate of candidates for 2017. So if you are interested in either being part of our nominating committee or potentially getting further information about becoming a board member in 2017, what that might look like or entail and what the different committee chair positions are, please email me at Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E, .Pulito, P-U-L-I-T-O, at Outlook.com. Nicole.Pulito at Outlook.com, either for information about becoming a board member or if you'd like to be part of our nominating committee. And that's all I have, Karen.
Okay, wonderful. Well, then I would love to introduce our two presenters tonight. I am thrilled to have these two fabulous ladies, Carly Anderson and Karen Boskemper. I have personal experience with both of them, and I am absolutely confident that tonight's session is going to be great. I first discovered Carly after I completed my own coaching education. I was working toward my ACC, and I was looking for a place to complete my required mentor coaching hours. I did a bunch of Google searches, was checking out a bunch of different places, and I landed on Carly's site. I started by first exploring her target approach. I purchased the product, and I was hooked. I really just thought, oh my gosh, I have never heard of something be explained in this way. And after going through the education, it just was really transformational to me. So I wanted more from this coach. I knew exactly what I was looking for. So I signed up to be part of their mentor coaching group, and that's where I was introduced to Karen. It literally changed how I viewed coaching and the ICF competencies. It was transformative for me. So Carly is an active ICF assessor. She's a credentialing expert with the ICF, a leadership coach, and the author of the Target Approach Methodology to the ICF Core Competencies. She's originally from Australia and has been a long-term resident and citizen of the United States, and she works with clients globally. Karen is a mentor, ICF assessor, leadership coach, and trainer with 15 years of experience in leadership development. Originally a native of the United Kingdom, Karen was educated in Germany and France, lived in South Africa and Europe, and is a long-term resident and citizen of the United States. Karen has coached clients from around the world and can offer German-speaking coaches credentialing support in both English and German for ACC and PCC level and MCC under Carlos supervision. So again, I am just thrilled. When I took over programming, these were the first women I reached out to. I said, can you please come and speak to our chapter? I hope that all of you find this information as helpful as I did. And I am so pleased that you've joined us tonight, Carly and Karen, and I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you so much for that lovely introduction, Karen. So this is Karen Boskemper, and you will notice that both Carly and I have accents, so we're going to try and announce our name before we start speaking, because for the untrained, you may think that we're from the same country. So delighted to be here today. Thank you for that lovely introduction, Karen. I've been working with Carly in the Mentor Coaching Group for, I think this is our third year. Carly, of course, has been an ICF assessor for many, many years. And very similar to Karen Conrath, when I first got to know and actually was exposed to the target approach, suddenly the ICF competencies became so clear to me, and it was so much easier. Like, it took this huge burden off me to have to hit all the competencies, and I didn't know where to place them and how to put them, and this just cleared it all up completely. So we've been working together now for 3 years. I since have also become an ICF assessor, and I just love working together, and I can only wish a great partner like this for all of you on the call, because it's so much more fun to work together. So we're going to start off, I'll briefly tell you what we're going to cover today. So the first thing is, and I want to check, Karen, did you send out one handout or two handouts? So there's...
I sent out two.
Two, fantastic. So we will be, I just wanted to double check that. Great, because the first thing we're going to sort of look at is we'll be learning the key distinctions between ACC, PCC, and MCC coaching. Often coaches come to us and say, well, I don't know what that really sounds like. What does that mean? So we'll be taking you through some of the main things of what the difference is. Then what you'll do is you'll have a brand new perspective of how to look and view the 11 core competencies and their application in high quality coaching. You'll also know by the end of the session what competencies to focus on that will significantly improve your coaching skills right away. What we'll also be doing is Carly is going to be doing a live demonstration applying the target approach methodology. And then the other thing that we're going to sort of we'll have Q&A on is tell you a little bit about how ICF assess the quality of a coaching session. So that's sort of in a nutshell what we're going to go through today. For the live demonstration, we will need a volunteer client. So one of you who is on the call tonight, if you would be willing to step forward, and we need somebody who has a very specific issue that you'd like to be coached on. So it'll be about 20 minutes. The topic needs to be relatively narrow, not like, oh, I want to figure out what to do with my life. We need more than 20 minutes to do that. But maybe, for instance, I have this upcoming conversation with my mother, and I would like some coaching around that. So something that's specific and narrow and that we can cover roughly in 20 minutes. So you can start thinking about whether you have an issue that you'd like to be coached on, and then we will come back at that time and sort of interview a couple of you to see who might be the best fit for this demonstration. So I wanted to pause and check if there are any questions. Great. So the first thing that we'll look at is if you can turn to your hand it's the handout that has all the lovely colors, the green, the blue, orange, purple circles on it. We're going to be working with that because I'm going to be going through very briefly with you high level what's the difference between the ICF credential distinctions. So if we look at the light blue bubbles first at the ACC, here we see that the coach's role is more of a doer, and they approach the session in a more linear, step-by-step manner, focused more on the client's agenda and what the problem is. So the primary focus at ACC level is really placed on dealing with the situation and finding actionable steps and solutions to address the problem. So the coach's role really is more of a problem solver. Once we start shifting into PCC level, this is where the coach then starts to become what we call a partial partner to the client and also starts to pay attention to the who. And by the who, we mean the client's strengths, the client's beliefs, their values, their habits, how they make meaning of the world, how they view the world. And so the coach focuses not only on the agenda, but also measures of success. So, you know, what does the client want to, how are you going to measure success by the end of the session? And also, in addition to that, from a who perspective, what are some of the underlying issues that may be getting in the way of the client achieving what they want? So it's this balance. If you imagine a seesaw and two people sort of going back and forth, it's this balance between the who and the what at PCC level. Then once you get into the master MCC level, here the coach now is really acting as an integrated partner and is completely connected to the whole of the client. It's almost like there isn't client and coach. It's a symbiotic relationship and conversation that's going on in the space of thinking, feeling, and being. And so here the coach is really engaged in complete curiosity. There's no need to perform, and the client's actions come naturally out of this conversation. And so the best way maybe I can describe it is that what you want to accomplish is a product of coaching the who, rather than at PCC level, where we start with is coach what, and we dabble in the who. So those are the distinctions in a nutshell, and I want to open it up at this point for a couple of questions before, if there are any, before I hand over to Carly. And if you don't have questions, do you have any thoughts about this?
And you simply need to unmute yourself. You're on mute, so if you just click on the mic or the phone that's next to your name, if you're on the webinar, great. And if you're on the phone, however you've muted yourself that way, just unmute.
Okay, great. Then it must have been clear as mud.
Very clear.
Great, lovely. So now I'm going to hand you over to Carly, who, as Karen said, is the creator of this target approach. It comes from her many, many years of being an ICF assessor and frankly being an incredible, incredible master coach. And so I'm going to hand it over to you, Carly.
Thank you, Karen. And Karen 1 and Karen 2, A, B, both of you, thank you so much. So it's such a pleasure to speak to fellow coaches, and both Karen and I have been around the industry for quite a while now. I know for me for 18 years, and one of the things that is important to me is to give back to the community and to support coaches to understand the competencies in a way that improves their coaching with the outcome. If you improve your coaching, then you improve the possibility of how you coach your client, and then your client gets the benefits of better results. And as Karen just went through, we think of results for clients in terms of them who they are and that they're more aligned with who they are as they go about what they do. So it's a big theme not only in our coaching and mentoring, but also the ICF through the PCC markers, which have been out now for pretty well 2 years. If you're not aware of the PCC markers, then you can find them on the ICF website under individual credentialing, under PCC or professional certified coach. There's a copy of them there. But the ICF articulated the who and the what in many cases through different competencies. So we can't stress enough that the difference between ACC, PCC and MCC is the level of who versus what attention, as Karen just went through. So we want you to understand as much as we can and then take it and do what you want with it. So just want to check my volume level, want to check that I'm being heard okay. Karen Conrath, can you give me a sound check?
Yeah, you sound great.
All right. Anyone, just let us know through the chat if there's any question that you have as I go through the next piece. I'm going to take you through an overview of the target approach. As Karen Conrath said, there's about an hour now audio-visual that I've created, a little product. It's pretty inexpensive, but it's got a lot more detail in it. But we want to give you the overview so that you've can actually act and work with it if you want to. And if you have any questions at any time, put it in the chat or just say, hey, I'd love to ask a question or I'd like some clarity about that, and we'll hear from you. And let me see. So the handout, the other handout that you have is what we'll be working with now, which is the one that's called, probably called Target Approach Handout. Teleseminar handout. And the first page has got the 11 core competencies listed as they are in the ICF document. They're from 1 to 11 and they're in this order. And I know that when I first did my coach training, because now the core competencies are integrated into the coach trainings. They weren't so much when I did my coach training 18 years ago. I learned a lot of this when I became an ICF assessor 10 years ago. And it was like, oh my gosh, there's a whole different way to look at these competencies, because I used to think of them as this list. And what I started to discover is that there was an organic process by which these core competencies unfolded. And as Karen and Karen have both alluded to, you know, once you sort of actually get the flow of how these core competencies work, because it doesn't start at number one and go through to number 11, it actually frees you up to be able to coach and to be more effective with your coaching skills, because essentially core coaching competencies are just coaching skills put into a format that we can get behavioral evidence of those coaching skills. So instead of looking at them as these 11 in a row, you'll see that it says the next thing, it says there are target or core competencies, and you'll notice in the handout there's space for five. So in my view of the competencies, there are five target competencies. And if you understand what these are, then you're going to actually be a long way down the line to coaching really well. Then there are, on the next page, go through, there are actually two competencies that are called more of a framework. They provide the framework and the more applications of the core competencies. So think of them as the framework. And then there are four competencies that are considered to be a result or an output of the rest of the competencies, especially the target. So they're separate into five, two, and four. So that's the 11. And I'm going to just take you through quickly a little bit about each one. And if you have questions, let us know. So I'm going to start with the target. If you think of the target, and in the middle of the target, there are actually two competencies. And if you think about it, coaching presence is about our presence. It's about us being present. And then it starts with coaching. So it's coaching presence. So we know a lot in the world now about presence, being present, mindfulness studies, consciousness. There's a lot of stuff I mean, many years ago, there was a book written on called Presence that was pretty, you know, interesting in terms of you theory. There was another whole thing done which was looked at from a more theoretical perspective. I can't remember his name. It escapes me right now, but some of you may know who I'm talking about, who wrote Presence. I can almost sense his first name. It's a German name. Anyone think of that name? It's not Oscar.
Anyway. I'll look it up.
Yeah.
I'll look it up.
I can't remember his name.
To relieve your brain.
It's going into, what the heck was his name again? So coaching presence, thank you, Karen, is knowing what a coaching process is. So our presence is one thing. But coaching, what's coaching presence? And that's why also in the middle of the target I put ethics, which is the first core competency. So the reason I put ethics there is because you need to know what coaching is to know what coaching presence is. You need to know how coaching is different than consulting or therapy or parenting, mentoring, advising. So if you know that coaching is essentially where are you now, where do you want to be, and how are you going to get there, and we draw on the client's present, past and possibilities in the future. So we could draw on any one of those things to help them understand what they really want and how they might get there. So that's why ethics and coaching presence are in the middle, because coaching presence is about how present we are and what we're present to. So if we move out one circle from the very core, the target right in the middle, your presence is informs your listening, active listening, which is actually competency number 5. So your listening is going to be biased or influenced by your presence, because our presence is influenced by our training as coaches, our life experiences, our cultural experiences. I mean, here you've got Karen Boskemper living originally from UK to Germany to South Africa, and she lives outside DC, and here's me, Australian, to I live in Laguna Hills in California, and we're both married to Americans, but we have these incredible different influences in our lives, and that influences us as well, and that even how what the family we were in, all of those things could inform the type of presence that we bring and therefore the type of listening. I can't stress enough, I'm actually teaching a listening course for a training program that I still am faculty for, and we had a training program a couple of hours ago, and listening is such an amazing, amazing thing, and I realize that the reason why I'm still so passionate about coaching is because listening is so rich. I can be listening to one person and I'm trying to understand how they think, what their feelings are, their strengths, their values, their worldviews, and then another person, I'm trying to understand there and help them to understand how to use those. So listening is such a core skill, which comes from what we're present to. Now if you go one more rung out, or one more circle out, I've got two in here, two competencies, which is powerful questioning, competency 6, and direct communication. Competency 7. So if you think about it again, start from the middle, coaching presence, you know what a coaching process is, your presence and what you're present to and how present you are with your own thoughts and feelings, how that influences how you listen and are present to your client, informs your listening, and your listening informs the type of questions that you ask. It also informs the type of direct communication. We've got a little bit of noise there, so I'm wondering if
barking dog?
Yeah, the dog agrees with me, I think.
I think so, too. He was listening.
He's going, yes, she's right, that's it. That's the question I wanted to ask. I've been listening. Oh, gosh. So yes, our questions are informed by our listening, and direct communication is how directly and succinctly we speak, but it's also the sharing of comments, intuitions, our reflections, and our know, anything that is other than a question is in direct communication. So if we're making observations, if we're offering a noticing, if we're observing, sensing something, that's all in the realm of direct communication. The other thing that's in the realm of direct communication is using clients' language, because a lot of clients' language is very visual. So we're talking about a dog barking. So if the dog is barking, and if that happens during a coaching session, I'm like we just did now, I'd include it. It's like it's part of the environment. So we might actually use it. It's like, what does your dog think? What would you, what's your dog, you know, if you were a dog, what would you want to say right now? How would you be feeling if you were a dog? I mean, you could use and be creative, because client language and what shows up in our environment when we're coaching can be so rich, and it can make our coaching so much easier when we use what happens in the moment. So if there's lots of interference on the call, rather than being, oh no, there's lots of interference, it's like, oh, interference. I'm wondering if there's any relevance to that in what we're talking about right now. So direct communication includes using visual client language and other sort of language that is specific to the client or that shows up in the environment. So that's the target. That's the five core competencies that make up the target. So let me pause and let's check and see what questions that you have or comments that you want to make about that model so far.
Hi, this is Chris Butterfield. I don't have any questions, but very compelling. It makes a lot of sense the way you're explaining it, and very helpful.
Great. Thanks, Chris. That's good feedback. Appreciate it. Appreciate knowing that I'm being clear. That's helpful. Always good.
So this is Karen. Before you, before somebody else jumps in, the presence book, it's by Peter Senge and Otto Scharmer.
Otto, that's it.
It was Otto.
Otto. Right? Schwammer, yes, or Schwammer. How, you know how to say it better than me.
Yeah, Schwammer.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That was a very, I thought, an excellent book on presence from a theoretical perspective. It was probably 10 years ago, maybe more, 15 years ago, he wrote that with Peter Senge. Yeah. Mm. So Karen, do you have anything you want to add about the target approach, the target?
No, I think you explained everything well, and the only thing I will add is that what I found is when I simply focus on those five core competencies and not worry about the others, and we'll, you know, show this as we move on, is that the rest of the competencies happen naturally. So if you can just get into your mindset of, okay, I don't have to focus on the 11 competencies. Let me really, really focus on these five, and then you'll see that the rest of them will unfold.
Yes, I agree. All right, anyone else before we move on? Okay, so this is an overview. There's more distinctions within each competency to listen for, but this is, we want to give you enough so that you can work with it. So I mentioned then on the page 2 of the handout, you'll notice it says which competencies provide a framework and are the applications of the core competencies. So if you think about it, the coaching agreement and planning and goal setting, those two are different in every way than a listening skill, a questioning skill, direct communication. So we know that in order to know that we're in a coaching conversation, we need to have a coaching structure, which makes it different than any other type of conversation. We can have a therapeutic conversation, we can have a friend conversation, we can have a mother-daughter, father-son conversation. They're all specific types of conversations. A coaching conversation has a structure, and it's, again, if you know the PCC markers, you'll notice that there are a number, there are five, I think, actual markers that indicate the core competency of creating the coaching agreement. And besides knowing the logistics and admin of creating a coaching contract, I'll make that distinction, a contract for coaching, the coaching agreement is something that happens in every session. It's like, what does the client want to use this session for? It can start out pretty fluid. You might start out, you know, asking the client about their actions from previous sessions or what they want to talk about, anything they want to share that's happened since the last coaching. Or it might move straight into, so what do you want to use this session for? And you explore and you find out what they want, and then you use that as your path or your guide. Actually, Karen wrote an excellent blog article a while ago that's on True North, using our coaching agreement as True North, not for us, but the client's True North. So if you ever want to read some blog articles on the core competencies, you can go to carlyanderson.com/blog, and you will find on the right-hand side, there's all the core competencies. You can click on any one of them, and whatever's tagged with that will come up, the article. So if you go to coaching agreement, and you'll find there the True North and a number of others. And so the coaching agreement is essential in order to understand what the client wants, and that we are following the client's agenda. And we can check in during the session, you know, how we're tracking toward what you want. We can check at the end, how did you do? Where are you now versus where you started? So that's the structure, framework. Now the other one is planning and goal setting. And again, if you go to the blog page and you click on planning and goal setting, you'll find I've written quite a substantial article on creating a coaching development plan, which is part of planning and goal setting. I actually coach only in the corporate environment. Besides the mentor coaching I do, I take on coaching contracts for leadership and high potential and other types of clients. And so there's often extensive coaching development plans that are created. So I outlined that. That's a structure. So you have these two structures that are supporting you at the big picture, which is planning and goal setting, and then the small picture, which is every coaching session is a coaching agreement. And ideally, anything in the coaching agreement for one session is helping the client to get their bigger picture, their plan, what they really want. So they're the two competencies that form the framework. I'm going to go on to the other two, the other four, so that you get the whole picture, and then we'll open it up again and see if there's any questions about it.
No, you're not.
No,
I am.
Yes. See, I'm on a roll.
See, you're just on a roll.
So
fantastic. I love it.
I am not going to tell you about the next four. Karen is.
You're just working too hard as a coach, Carly, tonight.
Okay. Oh. So, Karen, over to you.
Yes. So, I wanted to say one more thing about the coaching agreement, is that if you, for all of you, if you look at the markers, marker number one is what we talked about, is that ACC level is helping the client to identify what he or she wants to accomplish in the session. Once you get to PCC level, you must demonstrate that you at least are asking for measures of success and also to some degree what's meaningful and important to the client. I repeatedly hear coaching sessions where the who of the client isn't even addressed in the beginning and there's no measures of success. So from an ICF assessor perspective, I can only recommend, and Carly has written some really great articles on the coaching agreement. She also has a product about the coaching agreement, because I think if anything, that's the coaching presence, lack of coaching presence, and not really having a really solid coaching agreement are probably the two things that have people fail their credential. So I just wanted to mention that before I continue. All right, so far we've looked at the five core competencies, which are those five in the target, and then Carly talked about the two that sort of provide the structure. And now we're going to look at the four competencies that we call the output or the result competencies. And basically what that means is that if you are engaging in the five core competencies and the framework structure company com, sorry, it's structure competencies, then these four often are a natural result from your coaching. And so the first one is the competency, trust, and intimacy. And trust and intimacy, again, is the way we respond to the client. And so that, the way we respond to the client comes from our presence. And so we engage in a way that has the client feel really safe to share their heart and soul, to really open up that space, and to have the coach really consider and regard the client in utmost respect and dignity. And so when you're listening, and again, your coaching presence informs your listening, and so just by engaging in those two competencies, the natural result will be that you will create trust and intimacy with your client. It's a way that you are being with the client in the moment. Then the next one is creating awareness. So creating awareness is always what you're working towards in every session. But the key is that the coach cannot manufacture awareness. So awareness comes from, is something that comes from the questions that you ask, the direct communication that you engage in, the observations you make, how you reflect back to the client what you're hearing in the form of messages, in the form of observations, and how you sort of integrate those multiple facets into sort of what the client is saying, what the client isn't saying, and how you help them gain clarity about what they want and they don't want. So it's all of the things that the coach is doing inside the target that allows the client to move towards gaining awareness. And a real critical point about gaining, creating awareness is that when a coach hears or when a client says something like, wow, yeah, that was interesting, that's a good question, and then you hear silence, that's the time where the client is digesting something that's coming to the surface for them. So there is some sort of awareness that's starting to emerge. So this is the time for the coach to really be quiet, to be silent, to let the client process. And then from there, you can actually shift the client directly into designing actions by saying, seems like you're really getting something right now. What would you want to do with that insight? And bam, just by that question, by being curious, you're already moving the client into potential designing actions. So you don't have to always wait until the end of the session to design actions. Actions can be designed in the moment as you're hearing the client process. Because we all know from neuroscience that when we have aha moments, it creates a burst of energy in our brains, and we're most primed to take action in that moment. So again, next time, start listening to your client, and next time you hear them go, oh, wow, yeah, ooh, that's the time to practice and see if you can move them into some kind of action. So let me see. So yes, so then the last one is designing actions. And as I said, you don't have to wait until the end. You know, use it during the coaching session. And of course, at the end, make sure if you haven't, that there is some sort of designing actions and looking at accountability and all of that as well at the end of the session. So then the last one is managing progress and accountability. So here what we want to do is we want to ask the client to clarify any action that they want to take. So it's really about asking them, one, what they want to do with it, but then also part of managing progress and accountability is to ask what might get in the way of doing that. Because here you may find that a whole new coaching thread could open up. Because often it's the things that might get in the road that the clients actually need help to address. And that may be something on the who level. It might, you just don't know. It might be that they really suddenly bring up that they have a fear about something. So you know that that is then
something that potentially needs to be addressed. And also here, the most important thing is please do not insert yourself as the accountability partner of support for the client. When we are assessing coaches who are applying for their coaching credential and they say something like, okay, so how will I hold you accountable for that? Or how will I know you've done that? You've immediately put yourself in a parenting role rather than a coaching role. So instead, you want to ask the client about their level of commitment. So for instance, how committed are you to taking that action? Or what would help you follow through on your action? So you always want to leave the accountability with the client. So I think that's all. Yeah, so I think that's it. So I want to open it up for questions at this point before we go into our coaching demo. So what questions, thoughts, comments do you have? Is anybody out there? Yes. Who's out there?
Hi, Karen. This is Mike Tuohy.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So I guess I just wanted to comment. Your last discussion around, you know, managing progress and accountability, I found that dialogue very interesting and helpful, kind of as I would frame up discussions with clients as we talk about action. So thank you.
Great. So may I ask what it was in particular that you learned in that, Mike?
Well, I guess just the fact, you know, the way you approached it, talking about what would get in the way of you achieving those actions. That's not something I've traditionally incorporated into my discussions with the client. So I think having that discussion will, you know, help me get a deeper understanding of what they're trying to achieve.
Fantastic. Yes, thank you, Mike. And Mike, if you look at the PCC markers and you actually look at the markers for designing actions, there is actually one, I think it's marker, let me just have a look. Yes, marker number 3, which specifically says coach invites or allows client to consider his or her path forward, including as appropriate support mechanisms, resources, and potential barriers.
Okay. Great, thank you.
Fabulous, thanks, Mike. Anybody else?
This is Betty, can you hear me?
Yes, Betty.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you went from creating awareness, you talked about how the coach has to ask questions, make observations and reflections, and then I think you said designing action would just come naturally out of that. Is that correct?
Yeah, so let me clarify that. Great question, and thank you for allowing me to clarify. So because we as coaches cannot manufacture awareness for the client, we have to be really present and listening for when that awareness is emerging. And when we hear it emerging and the client, and you can tell that the client has had an insight or has created some awareness, that's the time then that you can move them into action by saying something like, hey, Betty, sounds like that was quite an insight. What could you do with that? Or how could this insight help you move forward in what you want to accomplish today? You see, so you're using that rise in energy and that awareness, that aha moment, to then move the client to actually take action or potentially do something with it. And maybe she says, wow, I just really need to reflect on that. I want to take some time to reflect. But by demonstrating that you've already hit the marker of designing actions and really partnering with the client in designing
actions. Thank you for clarifying.
Great. No, thank you for asking, Betty.
And this is Chris. I'd like to ask a follow-up to that same point. Because often in coaching, there's a lot of the upfront journey, if you will, to create the self-awareness through assessments, through interview feedback, and I guess in the processes I've used, I deliberately create space between that delivery of a lot of the assessment feedback and such, that you're working with them to create self-awareness before I move to what are we going to do with it, or what do you want to work on as a result of learning those things. So what I'm hearing is look more for the natural flow from one to the other versus maybe leaving that space. So I'd love to hear your point of view on that.
When you say leaving that space, what do you mean, Chris? I'm not sure. Can you clarify that for me?
Sure. Yeah. No. Well, I mean, it's a kind of separate meeting. Like, I would finish one meeting with the assessment feedback and processing that with a person, pulling out themes maybe from feedback, but saying next time we meet, you know, we'll look back on this and, you know, we'll start to work on your development plan and what you want to work on. Mm-hmm. So I would separate those steps. And it's, so this is insightful to me to hear you talk about it this way.
Yes. Yeah, thank you for clarifying. Absolutely. And so if you think about it, you're in the coaching conversation as soon as you meet with the client. So even though you might tactically have to go through their feedback, there's still always an opportunity. So you know, what does that mean to you? What insight has that given you about yourself that you maybe didn't know until now? Right? And then if the client says, well, this and that, says, so is that something that you want to, you know, put into your development plan, or is that something that might fit in with what you're looking to develop in yourself as a leader?
Okay. That's helpful.
Right. Thank you.
This is Sharon. I have a...
Yes. Go ahead,
Hello.
Sharon.
Hi, thank you. And first of all, thank you very much. Second of all, I have to hop off really soon to be part of a training, and I'm bummed, but I will listen to the rest of this because I would like to stay on. But my quick question is, you said always leave the accountability with the client. And so I was wondering, sometimes I will offer that they, like if we're not going to talk for 2 weeks, they could, or maybe sometimes they suggest it, they could send me an update in a week because they want to touch base in a week. Would you say that's okay, or is it that gets into a little bit of foggy area, because if they don't do it in a week, then I'm feeling like the parent. But I've ended up designing it up front. How do you want to be then? if you don't follow up, I don't want to. So what do you think about that?
Well, it sounds like you've answered your own question there, Sharon. So you're absolutely right. And so my recommendation would be is to simply ask the client, so how do you want to hold yourself accountable to this?
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
And if they then say, you know, X, Y, Z, then that's fine. But they will let you know how they want to hold themselves accountable.
Yeah, and just stay out of it, though. So to me, like if they make that request, how about I email you in a week? Just say, no, without me involved, how would you like to, or whatever part could you tap into, or,
Yeah. So if you have within your coaching agreement that you are the part of the accountability partner with the client, then if the client says, you know, I'd like to send you this, you can say, sure, that'd be great. And who else do you have that might help you with your accountability?
Mm.
So you always want to reflect it back to the client and say, and who else could help you in this?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you don't, you don't want to tell the client to bug off, right? But you always want to be, you want to keep pushing the responsibility onto the client. They are whole and complete human beings, and they can hold themselves accountable. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. That's helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sharon. And have a good training session.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll be off now. Thanks much.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, any other thoughts or comments? Otherwise, we'll go to our coaching demo. All right. So, who would like to be coached by the fabulous MCC, Carly Anderson? She's going to demonstrate using the target approach, those five core competencies, and of course, any of the others that fall into that. Who would like to step forward and get some coaching on something?
This is Karen number three. I am happy to, if there's nobody else out there that has a pressing issue.
Okay, so let's just check before we, is there anybody else who would also be interested? If you're on mute, we can't hear you. Okay. So Karen, then let's just, I'm going to pass you over to Carly, and Carly, maybe you'll just determine with Karen first whether her topic is appropriate for this demo, and then take it from there.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Thanks, Karen. Great. And Karen, so Karen, do you feel like your topic, given the parameters we gave earlier, do you feel like it's appropriate for this coaching demo?
I believe so. I actually have two possibilities. One is more of an HR issue with two people that I do not directly supervise. The other one is in regards to me building my coaching practice. So there's two options there.
Well, maybe the first one, because the second one might be a bigger conversation that, but you know what, I'm really open to, we'll work with whatever you work with, whatever you want. Okay. So what feels right to you?
Well, my most pressing issue, the thing that's keeping me up right now is the issue with two people that I'm currently working with. I have a position at a college, and I have two people on my team that are not my direct reports, and they do not get along to the point where they don't even want to speak to each other. They don't want to go to meetings together, and you know, I kind of feel like I'm the ping pong ball in this relationship.
Mm. Well, just the visual of a ping pong ball, that could be painful depending on where you're pinging and ponging. that could be tough. But let me ask you, they don't directly report to you, and yet they're impacting you. So how is their behavior impacting you when they're not directly reporting to you?
Well, I lead the project, and so with them not wanting to interact, I receive information from, you know, one person, and then I need to, you know, pass it on to the other, and vice versa. Or I get one. I'm not there a lot, so when I come back, it'll be. You know, this person did this to me, and this person did that to me. And I've never really been in a situation like that before. I've always, well, not always, but I own my own business for 15 years. And, you know, I never had that kind of situation. So to be, you know, working on a project and then having this type of dynamic is a little, you know, I just want to say, like, just grow up. And you know, so I've gone to both of their supervisors, and you know, kind of like shared with them, you know, what's happening, and the impact, and the knee-jerk reaction from one of them was, well, we'll just pull Kate, and you know, I'm like, well, that's not really a good idea, because then you're condoning, you know, their behavior. I think that we need to work this. They need to work this out if they're going to survive within this organization.
Hmm. Well, I sense there's some, I don't know whether the word is stress or emotional distress, or there's some impact on you emotionally to their behavior. I'm wondering how you would describe how it's impacting you emotionally.
You know, it's definitely stress. I think it's more, I think probably disappointment. I think if I had to put a word on it, I might put disappointment that two people when I first met them, I thought were very, very competent and well-grounded. Then in a matter of 3 months of having them on my team and working on this project, I would say it's just it's like disappointing. And then I almost feel like, you know, was I blindsided? Did I just not see this coming? You know, where did I kind of miss the cue that there was something out there that should have been a red flag immediately, that this was not going to be a good working relationship?
Well, that's some good self-awareness, that they've just to even ask the question of yourself, and yet at the same time these people obviously have some behaviors that are impacting you as well. So I'm just wondering, what is it that you want to move forward around this topic?
Well, I would like to see the two of them get along, mature, and grow within the organization. The last thing I would have happen is I leave, and the two people who were basically picked to carry on the project are not capable of doing. You know, like, for example, if I wanted to leave tomorrow and say I'm done with this project, they can't carry it on in the way that it is right now. And when I owned my business, I got to the point where if I would have left tomorrow, got hit by a bus, as we always said, that organization could carry on without me. And I'm not to that point with these folks right now, and that is real disconcerting for me.
I can understand that. So there's this impact on this behavior, and you're concerned that if you're not involved, if you leave the organization, these people can't take over. Given they're not present, and you can't do anything about their behavior in this moment, what is it about you that you want to work on today in order to support you to achieve some, I don't know, what it is it that you want to achieve with these people?
Well, I would like to be able to have a group conversation with both of them present without it feeling forced, as well as have independent conversations with them without the other one kind of... The term they use often is like, oh, he's going to throw me into the bus or she's going to throw me into the bus. And I'm like, no one's going to throw you into the bus. So again, it's just something that I haven't had to deal with. And I want these two people to be able to communicate. I want to be able to have a meeting with them and myself and be able to continue to move it forward and trust that what's said is indeed what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm understanding is that you want to, I don't know whether it's practice or talk about something about being prepared to have a group conversation and independent conversations that will help you be effective in communicating something to these people. Is that it, or is it something else?
No, I think that's it. Without it feeling forced now or phony. Does that make sense? So they realize that I am fully aware of the situation. They know that I want to somehow get the two of them to work together, And I want that to feel that it's good and that it's not phony, if that makes sense. So I tried to, like our last meeting we had, I just did just a little basic icebreaker before we started getting into the subjects of, you know, the project. And it went okay, but you know, there was no eye contact between the two of them. And just shy of me basically saying, just grow up, you two. and because they're not my direct reports, I don't feel comfortable. I'm not really quite sure, like, how to address that.
Yeah. Well, I sense comfort and that this may be a different type of conversation than you've had to have before. And the whole thing of feeling phony or forced, you've mentioned a number of times. What happens in a forced or phony conversation?
Well, I think what happens in a forced or phony conversation is that underlying issue is just pushed under the carpet and people want to just pretend that it didn't happen, that they don't get along, and that everything is just, you know, grand. Like, I can't see doing some sort of leadership development project with them or some sort of team building project with them without it feeling as though they're forced into trying to work together.
Oh, so, yeah, I get the complexity of it for you. I'm wondering if there were no filters, if you could be as truthful and honest as you can be and authentic, what would you want to say to one or both of them?
Well, what I would probably say to both of them is, if you want to continue working for me and moving forward the mission of this organization, you either start to get along, start to communicate, or you're done. And that was my approach when I owned my own business. Unfortunately, because we're in a college environment and I don't supervise these people, that is not an option.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, what are their strengths?
Good. That's a great question. So Kate, the gal, she is extremely competent in social media and marketing. She is has a lot of self-confidence and really knows how to get things done. Extremely well organized, and her to-do list is just amazing, and she gets everything done. And so those are definitely her strengths. For Tom, his strength is making, and this sounds funny, it's about, like, these relationships that he creates with people and his ability to connect, you know, one person with another person and finding somebody. You know, if we need someone to be a subject matter expert, he knows that person and he can find that person and get them to agree to come in and help us as that subject matter expert.
You know, your whole energy brightened when you talked about their strengths versus when you were talking about their forced phoniness behavior that you want to just tell them to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Notice any difference in your energy or not?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So there's a couple of ways that I have questions about. I want to check with you if this, either of these works or if you have some other idea. Mm-hmm. There's either some opportunity here for how do you leverage their strengths with each other or somehow like that. There's also the opportunity, I think, to look at your strengths and how you can leverage those with these two people to help them all work together. And there's something about the bigger picture of what we're all here to do. Feels like there's a number of different possibilities here of what to explore. And I just want to know if that triggers anything or if there's any other possibilities you can think of.
Well, I think we're all, we all believe in the mission of the project and where we want to take the organization. That, you know, that definitely is certain. Ask that question again.
Yeah, it's like I just noticed that we could talk more about how to leverage their strengths, how to, you know, what your strengths are and how to leverage those, or how to move forward.
So I think, and maybe this is what I was trying to do without really realizing I was doing it, was I was trying to keep them separated as much as possible with, you know, with Tom being out of the office more and doing things, and then, you know, Kate being in the office and taking care of stuff. But we're to that critical point now with the project that they need to start communicating. Tom needs to let her know that, you know, these are all the people on board with this event, and, you know, these are the things that she needs to take care of with the you know, the advertising and the social media. So if they can't communicate, and it got to the point last week where Kate came into my office and she was crying. She's like, I'm not gonna drive with this guy. I'm not gonna spend an hour in a car with him. I am afraid of him. I don't want to deal with him. He's mean to me. And so, you know, here we are at the turning point of this project, and, you know, I have these two people who really just don't even want to talk to each other, and I don't even know where my strengths would come into play, because then it's taking me away from doing what I need to get done by babysitting these two, again, being that little ping pong or the third party in this relationship. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, there's no right answer. There's just what's going around and floating around inside of you and pinging and ponging backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it seems like if you don't do something about these two people, there's an impact on you.
Mm-hmm.
And yet if you do something about it, you feel like you're wasting some time or taking time away from what you should be doing. I'm wondering whether there's some, you know, what's the thing here that's going to make this most important for you to drive forward?
Let me ask
you a different question unless that landed with you. Did that land okay? Because it felt a bit funny coming out of my mouth, but or did it not make sense to you as well as to me?
Well, go ahead and rephrase, clarify.
Well, I wondered what you're willing to put up with, I guess, and what the cost is of not having the conversation that would help these two see each other's strengths or something in the realm of supporting them, because you can articulate their strengths really easily, very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering. Show me.
If I didn't care about the project and I wasn't contractually obligated to make this happen, I would walk. you know, because again, if the two of them were a client when I owned my marketing communication firm, if these two were a client. And after the first or second meeting with these folks, and I realized, like, I can't move this forward with their behaviors, and if they're not willing to change, I don't want to deal with them. They have what I call a PETA factor, which is pain in the ass. they have a PETA factor of about 15, where 10 is like high for me. I am beyond willing to deal with this anymore. Beyond, you know, again, if the contract ended tomorrow, I would walk and not even ask to be reassigned and continue to help the organization move forward, even though I love what we're trying to do and what the progress that we've been able to make so far despite the relationship. For me, it's just not worth it.
So I just want to clarify, you're saying that you don't have an opportunity to leave this project right now, or is it just that you don't want to because it doesn't
two. I mean, contractually, I'm obligated to stay with them. I mean, financially, and I think also, politically and I think for my brand and the area in which I live, which is a pretty small area, if I walked away with this project uncompleted, I would not be able, I wouldn't be able to hold my head high. How does that sound?
Okay. So I'm wondering, I know we don't have much more time here, I just want to check, there's one more question that I feel like I want to ask you. And that is, if this wasn't about a situation that was not to your liking, but it was in fact two people you really cared about in your life somewhere else, and they were in conflict with each other, and it was important for you to bring them together, what's the possible shift in you that might need to occur in order to get your hands dirty?
I think having the autonomy to do so, and I think that's where my sticking point is that maybe it's what I think versus what is real, is that by me having that type of conversation with either or both of those employees, it can easily fall on deaf ears because I'm not the final decision maker.
So given that you're not the final decision maker, you're not their direct boss, but you're impacted by their behavior, mm-hmm. What's the conversation you're willing to have that's authentic and true for you to feel good about yourself?
I think that would probably be pulling out some of my Dale Carnegie training and trying to appeal to their, you know, noble causes and hoping that they would want to get along at least through the end of this project in order to help me and help the organization. I guess I have to hope that they truly care as much as they say that they care, that they're willing to let their issues between them, mend their relationship.
Yeah, I can hear the complexity of this and some of the hesitation in you. So I'm wondering if you're okay if we start to move to just some wrap up here, and or do you feel like there's something really incomplete that you want to say before we start that part?
No, that's fine. I mean, I respect for everyone else's time. That's fine.
Okay. So let me ask you, what, if anything, have you become clearer or learned through this conversation?
Well, I think probably the biggest thing is that I probably need to be more bold and stand up for what's right for the organization, and, you know, regardless of who they may or may not report to, and, you know, if the organization decides they're not happy with that, then they can be the ones to terminate the contract with me.
Is that uncomfortable laughter, or is that what's that laughter about?
Oh, you know, I think that would probably be, I think I'd probably be happier with that they would decide that this isn't a good fit, and that, you know, maybe they can find somebody within the organization to continue moving it forward, than to me to wash my hands of it.
Okay, so what, if anything, do you feel is the thing you need to do next?
Well, I think the thing I need to do next is to have, you know, our next team meeting will be on Tuesday. I'm out of the office now until next Tuesday, is to have a team meeting, try to get a pulse, watch their body language, see if anything has improved over the last week, and then have independent conversations again with each of them, and just see where they're at, and you know, if one of them just needs to feel like they need to be pulled off of the project, then, you know, talk to their supervisors and see if we can make a switch. You know, for me, I look at that and I say that, you know, that's not a good thing, because we're not addressing that problem, and they're not growing as employees or individuals when they can't learn to get along professionally. They don't have to like each other, but they need to respect each other, and maybe that's a conversation I need to have with them.
Yeah. Is there anyone else that you want to help help you or support you to prepare for these conversations?
Oh, that's a great question. you know, I guess the only thing I could do is reach out to each of their supervisors, you know, one more time and say, you know, this is what I'm thinking. This is where I want to go. You know, we have to get through, you know, this project, we have to deliver on this grant, and you know, this is where what I'm hoping to do, and see if they're willing to support that.
Does that sound doable to you?
I'm hesitant, just because I know how the organization works, and I'm not confident that they will be truthful in their response to me.
Yeah, I understand. So there's a lot more here, and maybe there's hopefully our coaching has stirred up some thought processes for you. I just want to check if you're okay to finish here.
You know what, I am. I kind of like my little song bite there, where I had, like, they don't have to like each other, but they have to respect each other. I can work with that. Like, that's a good little mantra for me to have with both of them, as well as their supervisors, and you know, see if I can kind of get buy-in on that. On that theme, rather than, you know, kumbaya, let's go out and have a little leadership retreat, or go out for a little happy hour. I mean, you know, I mean, those things, that's what I'm saying, like, those are phony. I mean, just to go out and have, like, a happy hour, well, people can't get along at work. Why would you think they're going to get along at, you know, happy hour after work? It's just not going to happen. So.
Well, it sounds like you've got a way forward that feels authentic for you, and a great catch, like, simple phrase. Mm-hmm. Good work. It sounds like you've made some progress there in your thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I have.
Well, thank you. And so I'm going to complete here. Is there anything you want to say just to finish up?
No, I'm good, actually. Like I said, just sometimes it's just like that little bit of just processing with somebody else and then coming up with, you know, catchphrase or mantra or some other theme that I can work with sometimes helps me to figure out, like, how do I put the, using my marketing lingo, how do I put the spin on that when I have the conversation.
Good. I'm glad. That sounds great. Sounds like you've got some steps forward and some confidence in how to move forward. So I'm going to hand it over to my Karen, the other Karen, and thank you again, Karen.
Yes, so welcome. This is Karen. Karen 3, I believe you called yourself at the beginning. Thank you so much for volunteering and providing such a rich conversation. If you could please send us or perhaps Karen Conrath an email with your email, because we'd like to give you the full 40-minute audio visual of the target approach as a thank you for stepping forward tonight. So we want to make sure that we get that to you. Will you do that? Hello? Hello?
Hi, Karen, we're here.
Oh,
yes, sorry.
Sorry, I will. I have a train coming by, so put me on mute.
Oh, was everybody on mute?
No, just right. I was. I have a I have a train.
My phone went dead.
No.
Okay. So I just want to double check. Karen, did you hear to send your email either to Carly@thementorcoachinggroup.com or maybe to Karen Conross so that we can get you the 40-minute audio product?
Yep. Thank you very much. I will do that. Thank you.
Great. Wonderful. All right. So I know that we only have 7 minutes left, but I'd love to just briefly hear from those of you who have been a witness to the coaching demo. Perhaps just, you know, what did you notice, whether it be around coaching presence or active listening or partnering? What did you notice and what have you learned out of this demo? Okay, not all at once.
We're a quiet group. This happened the last
yes.
time in the webinar too. Nobody ever wants to talk.
This is Valerie.
Yes, hi.
Hi. I just really appreciated this whole coaching session. I mean, Carly just nailed what's in the target and just led Karen through and was so supportive. I mean, it was just really sticky stuff and complex, which Carly recognized, and I just thought I got a lot out of it. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Valerie. Yeah. And I just want to add to that is that if you notice from a coaching presence perspective and also from a who perspective, that Carly constantly came back to Karen, you know, is what is it that you want to move forward? And really focusing on the client. I think at one point she also said, you know, the other two people aren't here now. So what is it that, how would you want to do this? Or I don't remember exactly the question, but just notice how she kept focusing on Karen and how she's thinking about this. And not once did she focus on solving the problem for Karen.
This is Betty. I noticed Betty. That Carly did a great job with the active listening, and she really picked up like on the words phony or force and how often Karen had mentioned them, so I could really see that she was doing the active listening.
Yes. Yeah, great listening too for you, Betty, because exactly, and that's one of the active listening markers is inquiring and exploring the client's language, using the client's language, and she demonstrated that beautifully. Yeah, that's where you really get into the client's world. Wonderful, thank you. Nothing else? What else did you notice?
For me, it was interesting because now I kind of know how my clients feel because, You know, I wanted someone to just give me the answer. I wanted Carly to just answer. And so it was really good to feel that again, like what that feels like to be the client, and to let me be the one to figure out where am I in this? Where do I own the problem in this situation? And then, you know, how am I gonna fix it? Because then it's on me and the organization. I can't, again, typical coaching, you can't point fingers back and say, that's what she told me to do. And that was good. I appreciated it.
Great, wonderful. Thank you. And I was going to ask you about what it was like for you. So thank you for sharing that. Somebody else wanted to say something?
This is Betty again. And Karen, I thought that Carly really made you feel the pain right from the start, because you were talking about the ping pong ball, kind of, and she used that metaphor to say, well, that, you know, almost sounds like it could be kind of painful. So she really got you thinking about your pain points.
Yes, she did.
Yes. And she picked up on the ping pong of your thoughts ping-ponging back and forth later in the session as well. So, yes, threading what you heard at the beginning, throughout the session, really threading that back through, and almost like it's like integrating, weaving in and out with the client. Yeah, thank you for that. Great observation. All right, so I'd love to move to a quick checkout. We've got 2 minutes to go. For any of you who'd like more information on the Mentor Coaching Group, you can go to www.thementorcoachinggroup.com. Not the Mental Coaching Group. We often get that. Say, oh, did you say mental or mentor? we hope we don't drive you mental. Just to see upcoming, we have our next upcoming group in September. So any of those of you who need to renew or are looking to upgrade your credential to the next level, that would be the time to engage. All right, Carly, have I missed anything?
The winning lotto numbers? That would be good.
Well, yes, that would be nice, yes. We'd all be going on a vacation, the whole group.
We could do Kumbaya together on a cruise of our choosing.
Yes, absolutely.
No, I think you did a great job. Thanks, Karen.
And you too. So thank you, everybody, for your participation. It's been a real honor for us to be here tonight. Karen, thank you so much for thinking of us. And I personally really appreciate it, and I'll let Carly have the last word.
Well, thank you, but I'm going to let Karen Conrath have the last word.
Yeah, no, just thank you so much to both of you. This is phenomenal, as I knew it would be. Always just such a pleasure to be with you and to have you share your insights and your wisdom, and Carly, for you to share your coaching and allow us all to observe that and really pay attention to it in the form of the target approach. I think it was just so helpful. And I just want to offer up to any of you on the call that are considering, you know, mentor coaching, I'm happy to give you more information about my experience specifically, as it was, like I said, extremely positive, and happy to be a further endorsement of these two fabulous coaches. So is there anybody, I just want to do a quick housekeeping check. Is there anybody that didn't log in to the website that is on the call? Because I just want to make sure that I've got a full list of attendees. Okay, great. Then I know of everyone. We will make sure that you get your CCEU certificates. And we hope to see you at our future events. Again, they're all out on our website. We've got them the first Tuesday and the third Tuesday of the month. So thank you again to everyone for joining us. Thank you, Karen and Carly. And have a fabulous night, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye, everyone.
Bye.